56 mornings.
Morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:06 the time. Hour number three here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Wednesday, April 22nd, 2026 edition. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you, broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. They got the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo going on right now through May 10th. Check them out at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. 61 degrees currently. It's going to get up to 82 today. Sunshine and a few clouds, but all in all, a very nice day. Same deal tomorrow. Then the possibility of some thunderstorms on Friday, but not an all-day affair, but about a 90% chance of precip. The weekend, looking better with each passing day, about a 55% chance of some rain on a Saturday, but otherwise it should be fairly sunny, at least partly sunny, over the weekend. Teresa Walker joins us in just a moment. Real quick, though, let me put Eli on the spot. Eli, we're talking draft here. 26 years ago today, something happened that was big for you. 26 years ago today, and it had to do with the draft.
So in the year 2000? Or, yeah. I have no idea.
This can't be right, though. This is not right. Now that I think about it, it says 26 years ago, the Cowboys drafted Emmitt Smith, and the rest is history. It wasn't 26 years ago.
It was 36 years ago.
It's 36, right? Yeah, that's a mistake. But 8-time Pro Bowler, 4-time All-Pro, Hall of Famer, 3-time Super Bowl champion. I bring that up because that is Eli Savoy's favorite player of all time, Mr. Emmitt Smith. And this is one of our favorite guests of all time. The Hall of Famer, Tennessee sports writer, Hall of Famer, covers pro football, but everything else. She is Teresa Walker. You can follow on Twitter as well. Teresa, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing good because all the talk of mock drafts, possible trades, who's your team going to get? We're almost in the home stretch tomorrow night. Those questions are about to end. Although somebody said, "Ooh, the mock drafts will come to an end," and it's like, no. Somebody on Sunday will have a mock draft for 2027. Just wait and watch and see. Even though we have no clue what is going to happen, but at least one batch will be done, and that I cannot wait for.
Yeah, it just won't be Teresa doing it, the 5-time Tennessee Sports Writer of the Year. Again, on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker. Please follow her today. Teresa, got a lot to talk about and a couple things even outside of the draft, but let me start with the news from the other day that we heard in Rumorville, and I'm sure you're hearing it as well. Dan Patrick had this tidbit on his show that the Tennessee Titans, the city of Nashville, will be hosting the Super Bowl in 2030. What are you hearing?
Well, let's put it this way. He said what's kind of been an unexpected thing. I mean, the commissioner was here in November when they put the last piece of steel up into the new Nissan Stadium, and he said, you know, they saw the NFL.
Oh, what happened? She went out. You got to get her back on the line. Did the commissioner get on? Did he just shoot Teresa Walker because she was given some information about the Super Bowl? Did Roger Goodell do something here? I'm worried here. Did we get Teresa back on? What happened? Let me bring Teresa back on. Teresa, you with us?
I am, and I'll just try to pick up where I was. The NFL announced in March that Vegas was going to host 2029. I thought maybe 29 might be a chance for the Titans to host in the new Nissan Stadium. Guys, the new stadium will be done in February. I mean, it is on target. It is going, you know, a 3-year build.
Wow.
And it will be ready easily for the 2027 season. But the issue is, there, you know, the Tennessee Performing Arts Center is, you know, has plans to put a place very near. And there is going to be some construction going around the east bank of the around the stadium. So 2030 has kind of always made sense for Nashville getting a Super Bowl. And, you know, the commissioner in November said, you know, we saw in 2019 what Nashville does. They just need the stage. And he kind of literally, you know, pointed behind him at the new stadium. So it's been a foregone conclusion just waiting for the formal announcement. The controlling owner, Amy Adams Strunk, you know, she made a presentation on the status of, you know, what the stadium was looking like, what it was going to be, their plans. Guys, I have toured it now 3 times. It is incredibly impressive what is going on over there. And, you know, once it's done, I think people are going to be stunned at just how pretty this is. I've been at SoFi, you know, which has got the same similar roofing system, but it's an open stadium. You know, I think, you know, there was a football game a year ago where it was raining and you had fans slipping because they didn't think about the, you know, the elements affecting SoFi Stadium. This place is going to be closed in with lots of bar area. It's going to, and for the there have been a lot of people worried, oh, there's not enough seating. It's only 60,000. They've got tons of room for standing room only. And with all the bars and premier areas they've got in that place, They've got a stage that's the equivalent of the Ryman Auditorium in one end zone. So they are prepared for parties. And, you know, so it's just, you know, Dan Patrick, it's like, you know, I checked with my sources, nothing's signed. The only people who can truly approve anything are the NFL owners. And no, they have not signed anything yet. You know, maybe the proposal's been signed, but they've been pitching and making clear Nashville wants a Super Bowl with this stadium, you know, well before the shovels first went
to
the ground.
Sure.
What's the talk of when they might get a Final Four? I know the Final Four sites, I think, are out through 2031 right now. Do they believe they'll be getting one soon after that?
Absolutely, Eli, because, again, they put together a committee with some heavy hitters 2 to 3 years ago. It was announced during the NHL draft that was held in Nashville. And they are absolutely big game hunting for that stadium in Final Fours, college football playoffs, semifinals, championship game. I mean, they are big game hunting for events to put in that stadium. You know, for all the people, and I've had a lot fill my feed saying, well, they're in Nashville. They should have an open, you know, air stadium. And it's like, you make money with a closed roof because people don't want to be hot. They don't want to be cold. They want to be comfortable when they're spending a lot of money. And that's what the Titans in Nashville and the state of Tennessee are building.
Just to be exact here, so is it a dome that opens, or is it just a dome stadium?
It is an enclosed stadium, Greg. It's a translucent roof system that is similar to what is at Vegas and SoFi. The difference from SoFi is that it's got 2 layers, but you know, so you'll get some light through. Mm-hmm. And they've got tons of windows all around that place. But no, the Titans president, you know, I was there, asked him, why not a roof that opens? And he said, we checked. The people who have systems that will open up the roof, they only open them up like 3% of the time.
Yeah.
That's a ton of extra money to spend just for 3%.
Right.
I mean, do you really want a convertible if you're not running around with it open all the time?
Good point.
There's no doubt. I mean, that's the thing. Like you said, because it's not like it's one thing like when it's like raining or whatever, but people don't want to be hot or cold. Like they want the temperature perfect at all times.
72 degrees.
When you have the ability to do that, it's dumb not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, Eli. And that's the thing. You know, I've got tickets to the current Nissan Stadium in August, Foo Fighters concert. I saw the Stones there in August. You will absolutely melt in Nashville in the summer when you go to an event outside.
Right.
And guess what? With the new place, I really wish the Foo were coming next year so I could be comfortable and not sweat my tuchus off.
No, you're absolutely right. So speaking of that, before we talk draft, everything I heard about Bridgestone and what they're going to do to Bridgestone is incredible, the renovations. But, Teresa, correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm not mistaken, the ownership is fronting the bill for all the renovations, or at least most of them?
Essentially, yes, because they got a contract and they worked a deal so that they had, you know, they've got control of that arena. And that allows them to do what they're doing. And they've got it's a $750 million project that they're going to be doing over a period of time. Bridgestone Arena has been one of the biggest and busiest buildings in the entire country because the way they keep concerts and events coming in and out of that building around the Predators season, and they are going to be doing some good things to it. And for a building that opened in 98, well, for sports, I can't wait until they actually do some things to the press box and make it an actual press box. So it's just, it is truly amazing what they're doing. But you know, it's part of the plan. The contract that they were able to work with the Nashville, I think it was 2019, but this is allowing them to do this. And the plans that they've got, they're going to be totally reworking the portion that faces Broadway and Fifth Avenue. And they've got an incredible Fifth and Broadway, the Assembly Food Hall and everything across the street. It's where the original Nashville Convention Center was. And this is going to try to match that energy. And then eventually they want to put a hotel in there as well. And it's like they're going to be reworked. In 10 years, you're not going to recognize that place.
So a novel concept here. Ownership of the Predators putting in their dollars for the arena refurbishment and renovations. And then with the Titans, how much of it is Strunk putting money in?
She put in a bunch. $2.2 billion project. $1.1 billion is coming from taxpayers, state of Tennessee and Nashville. The other $1.1 billion is coming from the Amy Adams Strunk, the Adams family, and combined with help from the NFL. I have not seen a specific number on that, Greg, but I know that the family was selling off pieces of Bud Adams' estate to help raise the money for this, because not only did they kick in, and maybe a number might be $600 to $700 billion, but she also footed the entire tab to essentially double the team's headquarters and practice facility. And, you know, she did that before they put the shovels in the ground for the new stadium. So, she has absolutely ponied up, her family has ponied up a ton of money investing into the team, even as they went to taxpayers for help on the new stadium.
Kind of interesting. Here in Memphis, as you know, we have an owner that's donated.
There's a billionaire, right?
He's donated a Clark Bar, I think, so far for refurbishment and renovations at FedEx Forum. It's just crazy. It just blows my mind, but I don't want to go down that avenue again. That's great for Nashville. That's great with the ownership being as hands-on as they are. Teresa Walker joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Teresa, the Hall of Fame writer, Tennessee Associated Press, the Tennessee Sports Writer of the Year, 5 different times. You can follow her on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker. All right. Is it going to be Jeremiah Love with the 4th overall pick?
Well, I thought so. That's who I took. Jim Wyatt selected all the local folks, what we thought, and I took Jeremiah Love because, here's the thing. At some point, the team that spent the most money in free agency this offseason were the Titans, and most of it went on defense. The biggest name on offense was Wandale Robinson, the wide receiver from the Giants. They had a couple of veteran offensive linemen, tight end or two, nobody that really blew your socks off. And, yes, I know that they have Tony Pollard, but maybe you trade Tony Pollard, to somebody who could use a running back. Maybe you go with both of them in the backfield and shed somebody else. But you would think that helping Cam Ward in his second season with his 6th different offensive coordinator since he went to college would be a good thing. But, man, there's a lot of chatter about Arizona maybe taking Love at 3, and with the Jets and Dallas both having multiple picks, let's not forget the Giants as well with their trade. Do they try to trade down and add more picks, get a first next year? So that's why I can't wait until the pick is in tomorrow night, because either way, whether it's Arvell Reese, a guy who the GM raved about last week that, he couldn't come up with a comparison because of the way this kid tested at the combine, et cetera. And I remember the effects that a Javon Curse had when people are like, well, wait a minute, he does everything incredible. He's just a freak, and what he did for that team. But, I also know what Billy Cannon, Earl Campbell, Eddie George, Chris Johnson, and then some guy named Derrick Henry did for this team. So that's why I lean running back in Jeremiah Love. So, but the good thing is they're on the clock tomorrow night. Guys, the good thing, if this new GM, and I was doing some prep work the other day, and it's like, man, Titans have really cycled through them lately, right? But Mike Bergonzi's rookie class last year, all but one really contributed to this team's starts, performance, beyond Cam Ward. He had 4th rounders in Gunnar Helm and Elik Iyemanner and Chin Dike. So if he can replicate that this year in addition to the spending, then the NFL rewards you when you make good decisions. And let's not forget, whole new coaching staff with Robert Saleh, mm-hmm. Brian Daboll as the OC, and Gus Bradley helping on defense. you can get right in a hurry. And, you know, we've seen them penalized the last 4 years for the bad decision. So I'm curious to see what he puts together, because, you know, running back isn't exactly at the top of the shopping list.
Right.
You know, edge rusher, cornerback, more linebacker help, offensive line, another wide receiver. Those are all on the needs list still. But running back, if you can get a guy who is a generational kind of running back, kind of have to do it when you're picking this high, because you hope you're not picking in the top 10 for a long time.
You mentioned that a lot of the free agent money spent on the defensive side, which is no surprise with when you bring in a defensive coach like Saleh. How much say will Saleh have in the draft pick, in the draft process for, you know, obviously Borgonzi's making the decision, but how much say do you think Saleh has in this?
Well, that's a great question, Eli, because that's the one thing that's unknown. Now, Mike Borgonzi said last week, you know, when you're the GM, you've got to pick players. You can't just take somebody that you absolutely love that the coach is not, you know, fully on board with, or, you know, because it never works out. You know, I mean, you know, there was a lot of speculation when Jeff Fisher was the coach of the Titans and you know, Vince Young was Bud Adams' guy. He told everybody, B.Y. is my guy. And there was so much speculation that Jeff Fisher wasn't helping Vince be his best. And having been around and covered Vince, that wasn't the problem, but that perception was impossible to fight. And, you know, eventually, sometimes you wonder, does the player actually buy into that? Because you know they're hearing it from somebody close to them.
Sure.
So you do, you know, and so what Borgonzi says, you do want to get players that the coach can work with. I'll just say this, you know, if you've got a defense that's giving the ball back to your offense, a great running back helps your offense actually stay on the field, mm-hmm. which helps your defense, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I could certainly see that, but I could also see with some of these edge rushers where Saleh's like, boy, I like those edge rushers, and I would really like to have one of those guys.
Well, I guarantee you those battles happen every year within every war room, because especially when you have Daboll, who's a former head coach. You said Gus Bradley. I didn't even know he was on that staff. He's a former head coach. But you have guys like Saleh, who's a defensive-minded guy. Daboll, I mean, I'm not saying there's going to be a tug of war. The buck stops, I guess, with Saleh being the head coach. But Daboll wants weapons, too. And what you said earlier is what I said earlier in our show about Love. If he's a generational-type running back, you have to take him. But you also have to get more help on that offensive line for Cam Ward. And with having eight picks between the second and seventh rounds, they have a lot of opportunities here. So, Teresa, is that if they do go Jeremiah Love, do you think early second, third round they're going to concentrate on the offensive line?
Well, they did bring in an Austin Schlotman, and there's another guy that I can't remember his name right now. And they've got Jackson Slater, who is the one draft pick last year who didn't do much. He did appear in a game, but you know they want to give him a chance at center as well. So I do think they add at least one or two players on the offensive line. But you know, guess what? I'm thinking cornerback, because they still need some help there, mm-hmm. even though they signed three in free agency, and you know they need more depth there. They need edge rusher. Man, if Arvell Reese is sitting there, tough not to put a cherry on that defense right now, right?
Yeah,
so,
right.
But yeah, offensive line will get at least one, maybe two in this draft, because, you know, yeah. Keep this in mind. Right guard Kevin Zeitler hasn't signed with anybody that I've seen just yet, and he wants to play another year. So maybe you get through the draft and you're like, you know what, let's bring in Kevin Zeitler and we're going to let these other guys compete for center, and then we'll address right guard next year. You cannot fill every hole on a 3-14 team in one off.
that's right.
We were discussing that earlier.
I was gonna say, like, there's a lot of help they need. Then it's one draft. It's hard to do that.
You just want to see vast improvement. Like, nobody expects the Titans to be a playoff team this upcoming year, but if you see the improvement and they can win, you know, 6-7 games, I mean, that's a major step with a new staff and obviously a lot of new players. But I think certainly they're moving in the right direction with some of the moves they've made in the offseason. It's going to be interesting. Everything's going to be interesting in Nashville with everything that's going on. And Teresa has you covered, of course, at the Associated Press. Follow her on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker, the Hall of Famer, the 5-time Tennessee Sports Writer of the Year, who will be very busy in the next 3 days with the NFL draft. She is Teresa Walker. Always great to have you on, Teresa. Have fun the next 3 days.
Oh, you know it. Watching Twitter. And guys, for a reminder of what the war rooms can look like, Remember what how Vrabel reacted to the trade of A.J. Brown?
Oh, yeah.
He may get him back this summer. So hang on to your hats. Let's watch those in-room feeds the next 3 days.
Absolutely. Thanks, Teresa.
Bye, guys.
Speaking of Mike Vrabel, did you see that yesterday? He spoke to the press, spoke to the media. What did you get out of that? That maybe something did happen?
I got that he said a lot of words without saying anything, much like her statement when she put it out.
So, Jay Ham, I mean, do we read between the lines here?
I do.
Do you think something happened?
I think something happened because they're both, their actions are showing that something happened.
I mean,
they both deny it, but he just said a bunch of words. He just kept talking, and at the end, like, you literally said nothing other than you're going to keep it all private.
But he said, I had to have difficult talks over the Rossini photos, difficult conversations. If you're having conversations with your wife and family over something that didn't happen, why would you do that?
Because something did happen.
Something.
Well, anytime you're. Happened. Those pictures, whether something.
Well, then you just say, honey, that's not true.
Well. They don't always believe that.
Well, what are you going to do?
They are different. When you're in those pictures, there's going to be a difficult conversation with your wife one way or another.
Well, but it doesn't matter if you do a soliloquy for an hour. I mean, she still might not believe you. But it's like...
That's why it's a difficult conversation.
Well, again, they're either going to believe you or not. You're not going to change your tone if you're either guilty or not guilty. But when... I don't know. I mean, the way he said it, I'm thinking that maybe something did happen. And at first, I didn't really think that was true.
I'm going to take it for what he showed us. We got a resignation from her and difficult conversations with his family members and loved ones about that whole incident. Something didn't sit right with somebody.
Do you remember? I think Eli may have been off when I said, if you're Diana Rossini and you didn't do crap, then you scream from the mountaintops. Huh. I will sue you. You fire me. And then nothing happened, man. We're friends. You saw a picture of us. Nothing happened, man. Nothing. But she didn't do that. She resigned.
There's smoke. There's obviously
exactly.
Some
that's why
her
I think something happened.
And his statement, neither one of them, like it makes you say, okay, like if this is the route you're going, if Mike Vrabel truly didn't do anything, he'd stand up there and say,
yeah,
listen, you guys have made a big deal about something. There's nothing there, and I didn't do anything whatsoever wrong. We happened to be there, whatever. But when you just stand up there and talk, and then say, you know, I'm going to keep all of that private, whatever. Well, you look guilty.
How about the woman that came out, also a media member, and ripped Rossini, and then she got fired? She ripped Rossini, and others saying that, like, this is not the first time, and that some of these women have done that to get stories or what have you. And, I mean, I forget her name, but some blonde hair. I don't know if she's a writer or... podcaster or whatever, man, oh man. And then her outlet fired her
because she's blowing it up for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's not a good look.
It's a messy world out here.
It is,
man.
Not a good look because unfortunately there are people out there that believe, yeah, like, well, you slept your way up to the top,
and
you
they
know?
Thrive on messy.
And right.
They will push
and it's
that.
A double standard. They don't look at the men that way, but they look at it with the women. And it's sad because of all the hardworking women that have gotten to where they are because of the hard work.
Well, even I thought about it in that same market, and I understand the different, you know, dynamics that come with it, but M.A. Udoka didn't survive that.
Right there in the same
Boston area market where Mike Vrabel will continue to just, you know, fresh off the Super Bowl, keep coaching. What, just like M.A. was fresh off the finals.
Was Udoka's with a person that worked within the organization?
Yes, that's what it was.
That's
yeah.
probably why, right? Right. It's against the rules and regulations, I would imagine. Okay, we'll take a break. Before we do, though, I want to tell you about All-Star Chevrolet in Olive Branch. Hey, everybody, ready to see the USA in a new All-Star Chevrolet this summer? Olive Branch has it right here in one place. A new Traverse, Tahoe, Suburban with a third-row seat, new Silverados with April deals that add up to thousands in savings, financing as low as 1.9. Go big with a new HD Silverado. Make no payment for 90 days because your good credit deserves it. Military, first responders, you always get a $500 bonus. Nobody beats the All-Star Chevy certified and pre-owned selection. Every commercial Chevy truck and cargo van you want is ready to get to work for you and your business today. And all the certified or pre-owned Tahoes, Trailblazers, Silverados, Equinox, and Corvettes. If you have any vehicle you want to sell, bring it to All-Star Chevy in Olive Branch. Get the most money for it today. So together, let's drive. Don't miss the work or vacation event. It's going on right now in Olive Branch at All-Star Chevrolet and online at allstarautogroup.com. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Matt Norlander reporting that point guard Keyshawn Tilley, a former top 60 recruit, is committed to play for Wes Miller at Charlotte. Excuse me. So that means Wes Miller, who was fired as the Cincinnati head coach, comes into Charlotte and picks up Jizzle James, who he recruited at Cincinnati, and now gets Keyshawn Tilley. Pretty strong backcourt for Charlotte in the American Conference. We talked about some of these teams losing players like Florida Atlantic, Tulane, and others, South Florida. Charlotte picking up players and a different head coach.
Look out for Charlotte.
Well, maybe in that league, we used to be able to say it's Memphis and it should always be Memphis, and we're still saying that, but last year proved that it's not always that way. It doesn't always work out that way. And maybe there's a team like Charlotte, like Tulsa, that steps up. Tulsa stepped up last year. Maybe it's Charlotte this year.
We got a text from Wayne on the Sissy's Log Cabin list line 360-8255. He said, unfortunately, government intervention is the only way to rein in the greed that has taken over college football. Well, the thing is,
probably true.
This government committee, and again, it's a bunch of people outside of government that are on the committee, but it's a government, it's a White House subcommittee. They're not reining in the greed at all. They're saying these are the ways to make more money. That's their whole thing, is being tasked with how do we make more money?
Yes, they've been asked.
The Congress has been asked to help with NIL and rein that in. But this committee that has been put together, this has nothing to do with reining in NIL. This is about the playoff, and they're saying, hey, going to 24 games is the way to make more money. So this is not reining in the greed at all. This is actually just adding more greed to the whole thing of, hey, you want more money? Here's how you do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Jam, I've been saying that the Grizzlies need to burn sage, do something, have an exorcism of some sort at FedEx Forum, and maybe change their bad luck. Well, the New York Mets, not the Mets themselves, but some fans of the Mets, they tried to exorcise the demons yesterday. Some of the fans wearing garlic necklaces, burning sage, presiding over what I guess can be described as a ritual cleansing, and then the Mets went out and lost again. 12 straight losses for the New York Mets. They are the first team, let me make sure I have this right, I think they are the first team that had a winning season the year prior to post a losing streak of 12 or more games in April the following year. Yeah, first team to ever do that. You won last year, you had a winning record, you didn't win at all, and you come out in the first month of the new baseball season and lose 12 straight.
Not a proper way to celebrate the 40th anniversary of your last World Series win.
It's their longest losing streak since 2003. Devin Williams is on the way to making himself a very unpopular guy all over the city of New York.
Yeah.
Last year, Yankees get him after he was essentially unhittable for the first however many years of his career at Milwaukee. Like, was unhittable. Goes to the Yankees, has a bad year. Mets pick him up, had a complete meltdown last night, gets booed off the mound. He's got a 9.95 ERA so far this year. That man is not going to, he's not going to be able to go anywhere in New York pretty soon. He's got Yankees fans that don't like him, and now he's got Mets fans that don't like him. I don't know what you do in New York if both Yankees and Mets hate you.
Yeah, there's only a couple of places I think you could be in a worse situation. That would probably be in Philadelphia or maybe in Boston. But after you ink a three-year, $45 million deal and you're collapsing as the closer, not good. But New York, yeah, those fans can be a little rowdy as well. No sign yet on ownership threatening Mendoza. The skipper, Carlos Mendoza, still has a job. Same deal in Philadelphia. We talked at the beginning of the show that your Cubs beat the Phillies again, 7-4. The Phillies have lost 7 in a row, but Rob Thompson not on the hot seat amid the skid, according to ownership. The Phillies do get a little help with Zach Wheeler coming back from injury, set to return Saturday versus the Braves. But there have been some real surprises so far this year in baseball with teams struggling the way they are. College football news right here in the good old city of Memphis. Yesterday, for the second straight day, I think it's the second straight day or 2 days out of three, Charles Huff went out and signed a junior college linebacker, and both from Garden City Community College. The latest yesterday, Jakavi Garnett. Could be Jakavi, J-A-H-K-E-E-V-I. But again, two linebackers. I assume they know each other, teammates maybe, from Garden City Community College, both signed by Charles Huff, which tells me that either, one, you're not happy with your linebackers coming out of spring, or you're not happy with the depth of your linebackers coming out of spring.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, and again, if you've got room on your roster with the limits and everything now,
right,
and there's guys out there available, you know, that I'm assuming they probably left spots open on the roster knowing that, hey, after spring, we'll have a better assessment of where things are and where we might need some help. And then with these guys that are still out there, we could go pick up some people and help out depth. And they figured out in the spring that clearly linebacker was a place that was an area of concern for them.
I think it's smart, right, to keep some wiggle room. Every team should keep wiggle room because you don't know what happens. And then, God forbid, you have any injuries that happened in the spring.
Speaking of college football news, I know people, you know, the people who were worried about the future of the crappy bowls, be happy to know the Poinsettia Bowl is coming back next year. And there's a Puerto Rico Bowl being added next year. So we will actually stay at the same number of bowl games for next year that we had this year, despite losing the ever popular Bahamas Bowl, the LA Bowl, and the Motor City Bowl. The Xbox Bowl, which replaced the Bahamas Bowl, is going to hang around, and they're adding the Poinsettia Bowl, making its return, and the Puerto Rico Bowl. So these 5-7 teams will still have a place to go. So the worry about the bowl system disintegrating, clearly exaggerated.
There's not going to be a test on this, is there? I mean, that's just like my head hurts from hearing that. Returning bowls, bowls leave, bowls change names.
I'm just wondering who's going to come up with another bowl next.
Oh, there'll be, I mean, there's business people out there thinking, right, if we can make money. Now, yeah, you can't always make money, right? But ESPN owns a lot of the bowls. They own, what do they own, like a third of them or even more than that, ESPN, for programming? They have bowls. How long have the Poinsettia Bowl been out of operation?
I think 2016 was the last one, if I remember correct from the story.
I'm pretty good at this stuff, but man, if you told me that the Poinsettia Bowl didn't happen last year, I wouldn't have believed you. I thought the Poinsettia Bowl was a bowl last year. The return of the Poinsettia Bowl. All right, good stuff. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got one segment to go. You're tuned into Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Let Bryant Dacus and Brett Norsworthy take you home every afternoon. Sports Time on Sports 56. Weekdays from 3 to 6 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
So Eli was talking before the break about the bowl games, couple coming in, couple going out, and it all evens up in the end, but what drives me crazy, and it's understandable because they sign contracts with corporations and then contract runs out, they don't renew, they got to get a new sponsor. But the ever-changing sponsors' names in these bowl games, I'm just looking at the bowl games we just had. 25 season bowl games that happened in December and January. And, you know, it's very rare to see a bowl game without a sponsor. New Orleans Bowl. I guess the city of New Orleans sponsors that one, but no real corporate name affiliated with it. I'm not even sure if they've had it in the past. They may have. But I'm going to hit you with a couple, see if you remember these. The Boca Raton Bowl has a sponsor. You know who it is?
I do not.
Again, subject to change, I guess, for the 26th season. It's Bush's Baked Beans. It's the Bush's Boca Raton Bowl of Beans. What the hell?
I don't associate Florida with beans, but okay.
I believe the New Orleans Bowl used to be, I think,
That's right, R.L. Carriers. Yeah, that's very good. It might have been when Memphis went to that. It may have been R.L. Carriers, but you're right. They did have a corporate sponsor. How about this one? Do you know what the Military Bowl's sponsor is?
No.
Go Bowling. Bowling. Bowling, I guess, sponsors the Military Bowl. How about Pinstripe Bowl?
New Era.
Bad Boy Mowers.
Oh, that's Bad Boy.
It was New Era.
It was New Era. They replaced it. That's right. It was the New Era Pinstripe Bowl. Yeah,
it was replaced by Bad Boy?
Bad Boy has replaced it.
How about Fenway Bowl?
I probably would have guessed Bad Boy Mowers on that one.
Wasabi. Wasabi Fenway Bowl. How about this one? This is an odd one. This used to be, I think, Barstool, I think. Who is the sponsor of the Arizona Bowl? This past year. I don't know if he will be for the next one.
This past year was Snoop Dogg.
It was Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
The Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl. How about, I mean, there's some of these are just like, what are, Birmingham Bowl, J-Lab. What is that? J-Lab Birmingham Bowl.
That's, they make earbuds.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The Independence Bowl. The Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl. It just rolls off the tongue. How about the Music City Bowl? It's an insurance company.
LeBron.
It's an insurance company.
What if LeBron came in and that's his, just like Snoop did the holiday, he's going to start sponsoring the Music City Bowl? I don't know what insurance
Liberty
Mutual.
Is there. Liberty Mutual. Here's a couple. You should get this one. The Sun Bowl.
Is it still Tony the Tiger?
It is. It's Tony the Tiger. Some of the big boys you should know. The Cotton Bowl.
AT&T. That's Goodyear, right?
It's Goodyear.
Or Goodyear. That's
it is Goodyear. How about the Orange Bowl? You see all these commercials now with Charles
Capital
Bart.
Capital One.
Capital One.
I almost said FedEx, but that's taking it back 30 years.
Sugar Bowl. They have been around a long time with the Sugar Bowl. It's in another insurance company.
That's Allstate.
Allstate, very good. And then this one, I probably would have gotten it wrong if you asked me. The Rose Bowl presented by, again, another insurance company. It's like all these insurance companies.
Theirs is presented by.
I'm impressed if you get this one.
The General?
No, not the General. Prudential.
Yeah, that's a new one.
I mean, some of these other ones have been around for a while.
Because it
used to be City. City yeah, Bank used to do the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I knew it was one of those.
You know who's very fortunate?
I was going to say Capital One, but.
Yeah. No, it's Capital One Orange Bowl. You know who's very fortunate? The bowl right here. Steve and Harold and all the gang over at the AutoZone Liberty Bowl to have AutoZone. AutoZone's been around for a while now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's been around for a while. But again, always the ever-changing, not only do the bowl games change, the sponsorships of the bowl games change.
I remember going in Dollar General one day, and their bowl game was on, but I go in, and they don't even have bags. Like, hey, I got a bowl game, but you don't have bags for your customers.
All those dollars add up, I guess, but they don't want to give it to the customers.
We got a text from Julius. He says, the Titans are building a new multi-billion dollar stadium. And 20 years after the grand opening, they'll be making plans to tear it down and build a new stadium.
Probably
in the NFL,
so.
Yeah, I mean, you think about just the NFL right now. Obviously, we know the Titans are getting one. The Bears are still deciding where they're going to put theirs. They'll be building one.
But they had a deadline.
The Chiefs are building one. The Bills have theirs that's opening right up this year.
Mm-hmm.
All the, you know, other than Lambeau, the old stadiums are being replaced.
Yeah, because we had a bunch that's just opened within the last decade or so, too.
I mean, well, you've got to keep up in the NFL because I've not dealt.
You know, Superdome, which is what, Caesars? Is it Caesars? Yeah. That's been around for a while now.
And then I think I've seen the Falcons playing like four different venues in my lifetime.
Right. But now their dome is relatively new. I think. Yeah. But the Superdome's been around for a while.
Yeah. And
Lambeau, as you said.
One of the things they do is they'll promise you Super Bowls if you build new stadiums. They'll make sure you get one. Well, New Orleans gets the Super Bowl anyway. They don't have to build a new stadium. They just like
Super Bowl.
Plus, obviously, they had the, you know, I don't know how many renovations they've done on that through the years.
You get the Super Bowls, Final Fours, and then that's when WWE calls. They want to put the WrestleMania in there too.
But yeah, the shelf life of these stadiums. If it's not building a new one, it's at least doing some massive renovation of the current thing that you have in order to keep up with whatever the – by that time, in 20 years from now, who knows? Like, there'll be
– it'll probably be a new run of them.
You'll have, like, drones that will carry you to your seat or something. You don't have to go upstairs anymore. I don't know what they'll have. Who knows what that'll be by that time.
Ken Memphis just promised to build a stadium. Don't have a team, but we'll build a stadium. Can we get a Super Bowl?
Hey.
Is it possible? Nope, you don't have enough hotel rooms. You can't have a damn Super Bowl. College baseball last night, the Memphis Tigers losing streak ends at 5. They lost to number 15 Mississippi State, but played them toe-to-toe. It was 2-2, I believe, going into the 6th or 7th. It was 3-2 going into the bottom of the 8th. Mississippi State scored a few more, end up winning that game 6-2. Yeah, I'm trying to look up real quick here. I know we're against the clock. But how long these stadiums, I mean, which ones are old stadiums?
The ones being replaced, Soldier Field, Arrowhead.
But what would be, would that, Lambeau, what would next
Lambeau's
be in line?
Lambeau's not being replaced. Lambeau, they're not going to ever replace Lambeau. They'll just continue to do renovations on it.
I think Lambeau would be the only one in the NFC North that's not going anywhere.
Here you go, Gillette Stadium. 2002.
About 25 years for them. Yeah.
But also, they've done massive renovations.
Yeah. Well, haven't they done a lot in the Dolphins one, which has changed renovations a million times.
Yeah, they got a brand new deal anyway.
It has been Sun Life, Landshark, Dolphin Stadium, Pro Player Park / Stadium, and Joe Robbie Stadium.
Again, they know in Miami they're getting Super Bowls even without a new stadium.
Yeah. That's right.
Legacy Super Bowl host.
Is that all the same stadium, though, or is it a different stadium? I know they had the Orange Bowl where they played. Yeah, 87 to present time. So that stadium's been around a long time. But like you said, putting in millions and millions for renovations. As far as any other of the old ones, I'm trying to see here. MetLife has been 2010. The one in Baltimore, I can't believe it's 2003. M&T Bank Stadium. Like Camden Yards, I was there when they built it, and I covered the first game at Camden Yards. Now Camden Yards, so nice, still very, very nice, it's become an old baseball stadium. Yeah. And M&T came afterwards. Synergy Field in Cincinnati. Wait a minute, there's no way. Is that the – no, it was Riverfront from 70 to 99, then it was Synergy Field. So that's been around since 1999. So that's starting to get up there as well.
Fleet Feet, the place to go to get all your running gear. Go see the folks at either one of their two locations, and they'll take a look at the way you run or the way you walk and fit you with shoes that are just right for you, plus all the other gear that you need. They have it for you. You can go see them either in East Memphis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center or out in Collierville at Poplar Newson Levee next door to the Hueys out there. Either one of those two locations, they will take good care of you, making sure you get shoes that are just right for you. Plus, you can get involved in their group runs and other things that they do to keep up with what's going on in the running community. Head to fleetfeetmemphis.com or follow them on social media. It's all about the runners. It's all about the running community with the folks at Fleet Feet.
Two NBA playoff games tonight. The Pistons host the Magic, trying to even the series. They're an 8.5-point favorite in Detroit. And Oklahoma City, already up 1-0 on the Suns, a 17.5-point favorite over Phoenix. The money line, if you take Phoenix, is plus 1,100. So basically what they're saying is there's no chance, but we have had 5 of the last 6 playoff games this week, including 3 last night, have all been upsets. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about those 2 games and everything else that's happening in the world of sports. Kerry Miller will join us at 8:25 to talk some Major League Baseball. Our thanks to DeMichael Cole and Teresa Walker for joining us today. Waldo and Friends on Sports 56 is coming up next. For Eli Savoy, for Jay Hamm, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great day, everybody.
You have opinions?
I think it's over.
Of course you do.
I don't think it's that simple.
Everyone does.
I got all the answers.
Hit us up on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 360-8255.